Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. This intro is a little less energetic than the last one because I used all my energy up on the last one, but my co-host hadn't pressed the record button. I'm Conrad.
And I'm Mike. And at least I spotted it before we got too far into today.
Into 20 minutes worth of talking.
Or meandering.
Or an hour.
As could be.
As has happened before as well. Hello, yeah. Mike.
Hello, mate.
Who are you?
I'm your only friend in the entire world.
Oh, that's lucky.
It is convenient, isn't it?
So here we are again.
Yes.
And you have some stuff, some new excitement, some hotness to talk about.
Yeah, as usual, I've been distracted by shinies.
What shiny is it today, Mike?
Right. So, you've been playing games a long time, right?
Playing is a loose term, but yes, I've been participating in...
So you have plenty of figures lying around your house. And you probably see figures online that you go, oh, that's a nice figure, but I don't know what I'd use it for.
Yeah.
So yesterday, a rule set was launched that solves all your problems.
Oh, this sounds interesting.
Yeah. So, you know that Gav Thorpe bloke?
That jolly nice chappy Gav Thorpe, an author
yes.
and games writer, designer, person.
Yeah. So, he has a friend called Carl Brown.
Yep.
And they have been... Well, Carl has been writing a rule set, and Gav has been sort of helping him out and things. They've just launched yesterday and a rule set called Open Combat.
Okay.
Which is a completely free-form miniature game for playing warband skirmishes.
Right, fair enough.
So, it's completely up to you what you play.
What, genre-wise, or...?
No, genre, it's basically up until the invention of gunpowder.
Okay, so it's...
So, you can do fantasy, you can do historic, you know, ancients, those sorts of things. There aren't rules in it for guns.
Okay.
But you can build... It doesn't have army lists or war bands or set anything. It basically has a formula for working out the cost of a man, mm-hmm. some skills that you can give. So you can... He's costed by his stats and the skills that you give him. And you can build your little war band, and then you can play against someone else who's got a war band.
Oh, okay.
But it means that you can use any figures that you've got.
Okay, this sounds kind of interesting and cool.
So if you're like me, you've got, you know, fragments of Warhammer armies that you started, or various bits and pieces, or you see fantasy figures or historical figures, and you think, oh, I wish I had an excuse to get that. And often you don't need an excuse; you just buy it anyway. And recently I've been sort of buying things and trying to shoehorn them into Malifaux armies or Malifaux crews. You know, oh, I like that figure. I could use it in that. Well, with this set of rules, you don't have to do that. There's, you know, you can go, oh, I want those. So I've dug out the barbarian figures that I'm using in Saga. And I've now got my little barbarian warband for Open Combat called the Hellcats, and I've sat because they're all female models, so, and I've sat down and I've worked out what they've got, and I've given them, you know, some of them have got two-handed weapons and things, and there's some skills dotted about, and that's my little warband.
How many figures is that then?
It's eight.
Okay,
eight miniatures.
And in terms of the sort of points that you're playing at, those eight miniatures come to
150 renown.
Okay.
And it sort of sparked imagination of quite a few people. So a friend of mine, Dwayne, is doing a Jason and the Argonauts war band.
Is that a real friend, just so that we clarify?
It is someone that I know and have been out for meals with.
Jason and the Argonauts, all right. So that's that's crossing another genre.
Yeah. So Carl was saying yesterday that when they were playtesting it, they were doing or demoing at a show last weekend.
That was at the Worlds, wasn't it?
It was. Romans versus Celts.
Okay. So that's so nice. And
three beefy Roman legionnaires versus a Celtic, you know, load of war naked fanatics throwing themselves at it.
But that kind of ties it in and associates it with a war bandy stroke historical stroke. That's the initial input you get, or when you're taking it in, looking at it. But then I suppose as you delve deeper into it, as you said, it sounds as though you can do lots of things with it.
Yeah, and because there's no fixed rules, you can build whatever band you want. So I've been looking at figures this morning to do an evil Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
So, you've got goblins as the hobbits, orcs as Boromir and Aragorn, some sort of dark elf to be Legolas, some sort of mutation to be Gimli, and then a master wizard to be, or an evil sorcerer, a necromancer or something to be Gandalf.
Why would you do that?
Why not?
I suppose so, yeah.
But, so it really got me excited because I was going through my list of figures and I was just finding, bits that are left over from selling Warhammer armies and stuff and going, well, these eight figures, they go together like this, and there you go. You've got it. And so I also did a Skaven one because I've obviously got loads of Skaven figures. I was thinking, I can put these together, and then I've got a little Skaven warband and the Chaos Ratmen. And
so apart from giving you the ability to fight, essentially, I'm guessing, or combat, is it purely combat? Is there magic? Is there any sort of?
So at the moment, Carl has been very sensible, and he's basically kept it bog standard basic. He even says in the introduction to the rules, when he first drafted the rules out, they fitted on a side of A4.
Wow.
But there was a lot of assumptions that you'd played miniature games before.
Yeah.
So now it's a little book, but there's a lot of stuff about, there's a terrain section in the book, describing ponds and woods and all of that sort of thing. There are rules in there for building your war band. And that thing. But I mean, the whole book is only 46 pages.
Is it hard? Is it a hard copy?
It's PDF.
Okay, so it's electronic.
It's only £7.50.
Okay, yeah.
It's a full colour.
Oh wow! Okay.
I mean, it's a full colour PDF. There's loads of pictures of painted miniatures from hordes of companies. All the people that you think of when you think of independent miniature productions.
Yes.
So there's Heresy and Hassle Free and all of those sorts of things through it.
All the H's.
And F's because there's Foundry and, and the G's of Gripping Beast. And
so no magic, just combat by the sounds of
it. There's no magic at the moment. So if you look at the page breakdown, so the introduction starts on page 5 and the rules are done by page 18. So basically it's the turn, movement, and combat.
I'm guessing you haven't played it yet.
I haven't, because I only got it yesterday.
So is it you go, I go?
No, it's activate. It sort of is. It's each model has two actions, and some some skills take two action points. So there's a focus strike skill that adds to your attack, but it takes two action points.
So that sounds a bit Malifaux AP-ish.
There is a mechanism that you might not get to activate your whole warband.
Right.
So there's an initiative mechanism. Then basically, if you stuff up, think of it as a Blood Bowl turnover.
Yep.
You stuff up a roll, that's the end of your go.
Okay.
And the initiative goes to your opponent. And the way that your leader is represented is basically with rerolls. So, you know, you're attacking and you miss. Then your leader can... You burn a reroll off your leader to reroll those dice. And, you know, maybe try and retain the initiative or get the hit off and those sorts of things.
Okay, so it's... I'm guessing we're going to do another cast once you've played it.
Well, we're actually going to get Carl on to talk about it and to talk about the genesis of it and how he wants it to go, because he's doing a lot of... He sort of released it, and then I think the enthusiasm for it, certainly on Twitter, has sort of taken him a bit by surprise. Because now he's having to run to keep up, sort of thing. because, you know, he hasn't got a forum in place yet. And then, but there's several of us on Twitter talking about, well, can you do this or can we change this rule? And my first question was, what about campaign rules?
Well, this is what I was just about to go on to. At the moment, it's providing you an ability to essentially play a small skirmish combat game. So yes. The next thing I was going to say was, is there, you know, is it like Mordheim, Necromunda or anything like that, where there's a sort of progression thing or a...
Yeah, and in the basic rules, there isn't.
Yeah.
But obviously that's, you know, that's the end goal, isn't it? And, you know, Carl said, yes, he has a design for combat, for a progression system, a campaign system, that your warband can grow in power and... You can pick up injuries and all those sorts of things. But he wanted to get the initial rules out and see how well they were received. And I mean, certainly, you know, from my point of view, I mean, I think I've talked about it in the past. I love figures.
Mm.
And, you know, there are many, many figures out there that I think I look at and I think, oh, I like those. And one of the things that I was really pleased with, a Fistful of Kung Fu, which is another sort of open game, was that ability to take effectively modern figures and use them in any sort of gang that you wanted to use them in.
Yeah.
And this to me is very similar to that, except it's with fantasy figures.
Okay. Or whatever you want, really.
Yeah. You know, sword and spear type armed figures. So my warband, but you can, because you're building the stats as you want, it's one of those things that it comes down to agreements with your opponent. You're still obviously paying the points, but certainly from my point of view, it's one of those things. I haven't sat down and worked out whether you can really stretch that. If you made all the stats massive, do you get an unkillable thing? You know, will a warband of eight averagely priced models, yes, be able to take a single 150-point model? Don't know.
So that's a potential balancey type thing. But it could be even as simple as you skilling up your eight.
I think with these sorts of games, it is very much. It's, you know, you often talk about the social contract.
Yep.
With getting games. And I think in these sorts of open games, it's a club level experience type game, certainly in the state it is at the moment. But there is the social contract with your opponent. So I've put together this, as I say, the Hellcats, which is a female barbarian warband, which fortunately is eight models strong, which also happens to be the size of a unit in my not at all historical saga warband. So they cross across game systems, which I quite like.
I see things in there just so that people have an idea. I've actually got the rules open at the moment. Things like mounted models and monsters. And the one thing that I am happy to see as well is that they have scenarios.
Yes, I was going to. I was. Yeah, I was going to come on to those.
Okay.
Because there are some addition. There are some additional rules towards the back of the book. Things like hiding and falling, and a combined action rule, so you can sort of pull together. But then there are scenarios, right? Rather than just running up and going, "Urgh, slap back," sort of thing. There are scenarios. Now, one of them is open combat,
Which
which is
is
basically
rrr, slap,
run up and
slap,
slap.
slap.
But then there's a nice little objective-based one called Retrieve the Prize. And then there's a third one called Capture. And so you have to think about, playing those sorts of games. And it's played on a small board. It's only a 2-foot by 2-foot board.
Yes, that's all that all it says, or whatever that suits you. Just bear with me one minute. I think the postman's at the door. Sorry.
Are you back?
I'm back. No
Cool.
goodies for me, though.
Oh well. I got some goodies today.
Playing areas.
Yes, player. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think I'll start off on a 2-foot by 2-foot board. So, a little bit of terrain. Run around going, "Hurrah, we are the Hellcats!"
Or not.
Killing Jason and the Argonauts.
It seems as though it's a set of rules that have just been put together to enable you to a bit
Yeah.
of freedom sort of thing, but at the moment without any structure, from a campaign system point of view, I'd suggest, is there a point? We were talking about recently about games dying or not being played a lot. I need a reason. I mean, apart from getting the band together and doing the hobby side of things and then having a bit of fun sort of thing with it, I can't see any hook into the game as such.
Well, I think
So.
I, but you see, I think that that, I mean, I think that that's what it is, the hook. Certainly to start with, what is the hook? Is the being able to use those figures that you've had sitting around, or that, pull those figures together that
Yeah.
you want to use.
So that's the initial interest, isn't it?
That's the initial interest. Now,
So
I agree that, I mean,
longevity is what I was talking about.
for longevity, a campaign system, I mean, certainly for me, a campaign system becomes a must. Now, of course, you and I are old and therefore know how to do these things. We can build campaign systems ourselves.
But we're also lazy.
But that was going to be my next point. Because we're old, we like to have our naps and we're lazy. So certainly, I mean, I would hope that a campaign system comes along, and one of the things that, I'm going to ask Carl when we interview him is when that's going to come along. But it's one of those things that the community can certainly get involved with. I mean, if this is your sort of thing, if you fancy, little games of running around with fancy war bands, and you can even say, with Games Workshop stuff, that you're going to extend it to be a chaos war band. You can, because you can say, oh, you have to dedicate to one of the chaos powers from, the chaos background, and then just build a little war band of that, a chaos warrior and a couple of beast men and maybe a hound of Khorne or something like that. It can become very, very interesting, I think.
Yeah, I mean, has he been surprised by the interest in it?
I think he has, yeah.
Okay. Well, you when you get to talk to him, you can ask him things like that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because people always like new stuff. People like freedom as well, and this is certainly a rule set that allows you a bit of freedom. I think it will encourage. There is always this fear because you do stuff, because you're given stuff in black and white and a rule set. There is this fear of making stuff up. Because,
and it didn't used to be that way, though.
No, that's right. Exactly right. So you would tweak something or add stuff to give it a bit of flavour.
Or to play the way that you wanted it to play.
Exactly right. I mean, I go back to 4th edition and we had a narrative campaign. And, okay, that's a different side of things. But it allowed, it facilitated the play of fantasy battle. And it gave reason and meaning to having a game as opposed to just rolling up and putting some figures on the table sort of thing. So, yeah, why not try out something simple as, you know, you can look in the rules to see how a bow works, for instance. Why not take that mentality or those rules there and go and say, okay, I'm going to put a small wizard in who's able to do a fireball, for instance.
See, that's really funny because that was exactly my first thought.
Well, there you go.
is what, you know, in fantasy stereotypes, what do wizards do? They lob fireballs and they heal you.
Smoke a pipe.
So you can quite easily go, and that's the beauty of, I think, of playing games with your mates, is you can go, I had this idea, do you mind me trying it out? And, you know, your mates are going to go, yeah, sure, let's try that out. Let's see how it works.
And then you lose your mate because whatever you did was so overpowered that they never want to be played.
Ah, but the beauty of small skirmish games like this is you can probably play two or three games down the club in one night.
This is true, yes.
I mean, that's the beauty of things like Dead Man's Hand, is the way that the Dead Man's Hand scenarios are linked, you know, it's three scenes make up one game. But you can play all three of those games in one evening because it takes, you know, 30 minutes to play one of those scenes.
That's on my list.
Oh, have you not played it yet?
No, you said I could play it later this year.
Oh, I did, yes. But, I'm very excited by the potential of it, and it certainly scratches a need that I have, because it means that I can, you know, I've got a rule set that I can go and just go, oh yeah, I like those figures, let's just make up a little group of five or six models, paint them up, and then...
I can see the appeal for it, but at the moment, you know, with me looking at another crew for, you know, Malifaux and...
Oh, yeah.
Interest in Epic, I can't see myself... And wanting to play things like Dead Man's Hands and what... Dead Man's Hands, not Hands... I want to be able to, you know, I've got other priorities where I'd like to get two DMH crews together to take it, so I could take it to the club and say, who wants to play this?
Yeah.
And try and get a bit of buy-in there sort of thing, you know, or whatever. But it's another rule set. It sounds exciting. And as mentioned in a previous podcast, do I want to get in at the start?
Well, that's it. And for me, you see, and I don't think we talked about it when we did that episode. We didn't talk about the investment level that's required to get in at the start. To me, the investment level of this game was £7.50 because I'm using figures I already have.
Oh no, I agree with that from a financial point of view, but investment also includes other things, doesn't it?
No, you're right. It does. It includes time and things. You know, one of the fortunate things about living here now is that there is a large group of players who are always willing to try that sort of thing because they just have, you know, a few figures sitting around that they can use.
Yep.
And so it's not like I'm asking, you know, friends to go out and spend a load of money to try out a game that may or may not be fun.
Though some might be annoyed at you for not even trying Relic Knights first yet.
Well, they might be. I'll play Rally Nights as well. I mean, unfortunately, tonight is a club night, and I won't be able to go, but...
Well, yes, you have Governor's Proxy training.
I have Governor's Proxy training, but...
anyway!
So, yeah.
Sounds interesting. I hope that you have some fun with it, and when Carl comes along, I'll be interested to see what the plans are for the future as well.
Right. Okay. So that sounds like you're wrapping up.
Well, unless there's anything else you want to talk about it.
No, I think we're done.
I think we're done, yeah.
Okay. I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad.
Bye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.